Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm back. Courtney Cronin, yes. Amazing. I love it. Mina Kimes, Marcel Louis-Jacques, Frank Isola, and yes, Tim Kalishaw. Tim, let me say this. You have our respect for not calling out today. After Stars collapse up 3-0, after the Mavs get run off the floor, will it spur Tim to competitive victory today?
Probably.
Let's go around the horn.
The hockey and basketball teams in New York and Boston are doing okay. Undefeated.
Thunder 117, Mavericks 95. Luka Doncic's woes continue. OKC's role continues. Thunder 5-0 this postseason. They haven't had a sweat at all. Maybe last night, a moment where Kyrie pulled the game within one. Then it was double digits within minutes, and then it was 22 not so much later. So I ask you, was last night about OKC's continued dominance or Luka's continued slump? Around the horn to Dallas is Tim Kalishaw.
Tony, these shows you have where people like to overreact to these game ones.
People, yeah.
I mean, let's be realistic for a second. The last time the Mavs 2 years ago went to the conference final, they lost the first two games in Phoenix. Mm. I was there. You guys weren't. I know how these things work. Nothing to worry about. Now, the last series, the Mavs lost two games to the Clippers. They looked terrible in those games. They had 30 at halftime in game one. They were down by 30 in the other one.
This is not helping your
argument. They have a way of looking really bad, and then Luka bounces back the next game and scores 40 points. Now, here's the problem with that is that Lu Dort and Chet Holmgren are way better defenders than anybody on the Clippers. Mm-hmm. My man, Kayson Wallace, Richardson, Texas, go Golden Eagles. He comes off the bench and guards Kyrie. They got great defense. The Mavs do have a hurdle to overcome, but I hardly think that Luka and Kyrie are going to go quietly.
Okay, but talk to me specifically about Luka and the shooting and this postseason.
He hurt his knee in game two against the Clippers. In the last four games, he's 5-for-35 on three-pointers. They're not going to survive with
that. Yeah, this is not helping your argument that everything's all right with Dallas. Let's go to Mina Kimes here on what you saw from OKC's route of Dallas last night.
Yeah, now that our Dallas delegation is done, I will redirect to the winning team.
Yes, thank you very much.
And I want to go back not just to last night, but to before the playoffs when, as I'm sure you all remember, there was, shall we say, discourse over whether the Lakers should deliberately lose so they could face the Thunder instead of the Nuggets. Boy, that has not aged well. And I think why it hasn't aged well and what's so important from last night is we talk about youth in the playoffs in the NBA as being such a detriment. Oh, they don't have the experience, right? But the flip side of that is they have energy and effort and bodies that they can just throw at you on defense, and that is why they won. 25 second chance points, Tony. The most they've had all year long. They killed them on the boards. And especially given Luka obviously being hampered, he looks sluggish, the step back's not there. It appears that the Mavericks simply do not have the depth to contend with this version of Luka.
Frank, let me ask you that specifically. Do the Mavericks have the depth to contend against OKC in this series?
Yeah, I think it really hurts losing Maxi Kleber in the last round like they did to the shoulder injury. Remember also about Oklahoma City. Now, this team had 8 days off, and you're thinking, oh, they'll be rusty and inexperienced. Look at the way they played. They're now 5-0 in the playoffs. They've yet to give up 100 points. And the biggest issue that Dallas is going to have, Tim's right, they've come back before, but clearly Luka is hurting, and in very kind of like Joel Embiid way, where you're dealing with a knee injury, then the fourth quarter rolls around, fitness seems to come into play as well. You can tell Luka on the court, you know, Lu Dort diving for that loose ball. Luka didn't like that. Then after the game, he's real sensitive about the way that he's playing. I think they're in a lot of trouble here because Luka clearly isn't himself.
And Marcel right Louis-Jacques, takeaway from Thunder win game one.
Yeah, I think that Luka's trademark move, right, that step back, the step back three, if there's any other indication, I don't know if there's any better indication that he's not right than him shooting 2 for 12 on step backs last night against Oklahoma City. He is very clearly not healthy. Past four games, 14% from three-point line. It is the worst four-game stretch in NBA history. I don't think he is right. I don't know if he's necessarily getting better. And then on the flip side, I mean, we obviously talk about Minnesota's defense, and deservedly so. Oklahoma City, like Frank said, they haven't allowed it more than 100 points all playoffs. They held Dallas to 5 for 15 shooting when Chet Holmgren was guarding them, three blocks. Dallas's bigs got into foul trouble. It just was a complete mess for Dallas last night. I don't know that they're able to come back this series. This looks like the Thunder series.
I don't know if Kalisho's able to come back with -8 points, but we'll give him a chance after the horn.
I just want to remind people I was born in Tulsa. I'm not oblivious to the Thunder's greatness and some of the things they have going for them. I'm just saying, watch out for PJ Washington and Derek Lively in game two. That's all I'm saying.
Born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. 40 years, 50 years before the team came into existence. But, yeah, you were there first. We'll move on. Jamal Murray avoiding suspension from the NBA. That's what I want to talk about next. Game is not until Friday for game three. But no suspension for Murray, the league has determined. They fined $100,000 for the throwing of the towel and the heating pad. Did the NBA get this right? Around the horn, Amina Khams.
No, I think they got it wrong for a couple of reasons. As you mentioned, there's multiple infractions. The throwing of the towel, the throwing of the heating pad, the money gesture, all sort of vaguely directed in the direction of the refs. But it's not just about the refs. Throwing that heating pad on the floor, that was reckless. Somebody could have tripped on that and seriously hurt themselves. And you can't help but look at the lack of a suspension and think about precedent that this sets. How can they suspend another player for doing the same thing in the future? It seems very obvious to me they didn't want to pull a star out of the playoffs, given some of the history of that. Draymond, of course. And I think it could come back to bite the NBA in the end.
Frank, address that. Did the NBA pull it a little bit so they wouldn't lose Murray for a playoff game?
Yeah, because you know what's going to happen? If he doesn't play, there's a really good chance they're going to lose without him. Jamal Murray knew exactly what he was doing. Of course, he should be suspended. Remember, Chris Finch, the head coach of Minnesota, was injured in a freak accident in the last game against Phoenix when his own player, Mike Conley, ran into him. So freak accidents happen during NBA games. I'll tell you what, if I'm the referees' union, I would say something here, because there was a moment about a month ago where Kelly Oubre walked up to the three officials after a game and in their face called them right to their face a derogatory word, didn't get suspended. Now you have a player throwing stuff on the court, making the money sign. I think the league dropped the ball on this one. He should have been suspended.
Marcel, how do you see it? Do you see it as the league dropping the ball, or that the league's making a decision here, for better or worse, that the game should be decided by players on the floor, and we're not going to make a decision that is oversized in some way?
Yeah, I get what they're trying to do, keeping Jamal Murray in the series. For the record, they could very well lose the series even with him playing. But when we're talking about precedent, Rudy Gobert was fined $100,000 for doing a money sign back in March. So Jamal Murray gets the same fine for doing the money sign and possibly endangering the field of play. Like, I think they probably took it a little light on him. I get why they don't suspend him, but this is for sure a light punishment for the crime that he committed. And again, like, throwing the heating pad on the court, like, that is, if somebody tripped and hurt themselves, somebody rolled an ankle, broke a leg, tore an ACL while doing that, like, then what? Man, yeah, it's a terrible act. It was immature for Jamal Murray. He probably deserved more.
As much as I hate suspending players, I agree with the panelists. This feels like it would have been very different if this was a bench player and in a series that was 1-1, where that suspension didn't really mean, you know, quite as much. Frank is old enough to remember Bert Campaneris throwing a bat at a Tigers pitcher in the playoffs. Major League Baseball suspended him for the start of the next season. I think it was the first 5 games, not the World Series. I would be for that. Fine him, suspend him the first 3 or 5 games of next season. How about that?
Eh,
how about that?
Eh,
doesn't really do it for
me. That's something.
What hurt was what happened on the floor. The meltdown was in the series. It should happen in the series if you're going to do it. That gets you thrown at a green grove, the nursing home, if you throw heating pads.
Yeah.
Doesn't get you thrown at an NBA game. Unbelievable. All right, let's talk tonight. Pacers-Knicks game two. Mitchell Robinson's ankle re-injured, so he's out for the rest of the playoffs. New York's short roster gets even shorter. You know that already, Frank. You're the minutes police, but adjustments tonight. And I'm asking for the Knicks, I'm asking for the Pacers, and I'm asking for the officials after the two-minute report was a CVS receipt. Go ahead.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Spoiler alert. The last two-minute report will point out a couple of calls that were missed in the game because that happens all the time. The big thing for the Indiana Pacers, which kind of got glossed over here, was that Tyrese Halliburton was 2-for-6. And Rick Carlisle said, well, I have to do a better job of getting him shots. No, Tyrese Halliburton is an all-star. He's on the Olympic team. He needs to do better. If you watch that game, I felt like he wanted no part of that fourth quarter, especially offensively. He got completely outclassed by Jalen Brunson. He needs to do more. It's not on Rick Carlisle. It's not on the referees. It's on your all-star.
Halliburton has said as much. But are you going to tell me the officiating at the end of the last game doesn't cast a shadow on this game when we're considering how they're going to referee this game?
Well, first of all, every game seems to be an issue. And you know what? We're in the playoffs. Why not in the last 2 minutes just review everything? Why can you review a foul but not something like a kick ball, which would have given Indiana the ball in a tie game? Instead, the Knicks keep possession. DiVincenzo hits the three. Just review everything.
Frank says review everything from a man spoke who's not on deadline, it sounds like. Marcel Louis-Jacques, how about you?
I don't think it changes how the game's officiated tonight because there have been problems with how these games have been officiated throughout the entire postseason, even specifically with the Knicks. I don't know if any team has benefited more from late game, let's say, controversy than the New York Knicks, although they did outscore Indiana pretty heavily in that fourth quarter. They do deserve some credit for being able to close out games. I don't think, you know, while I don't think the refereeing changes, the officiating changes, I don't think the result changes either. I've got New York Knicks winning tonight. They're too good. Jalen Brunson's too hot right now. And then Josh Hart putting up LeBron numbers, not scoring, but in minutes played.
Kalishaw, adjustments for tonight.
In the last minute of that game, the Pacers got called for a foul that wasn't a foul. They had to overturn it with a challenge. As Frank said, they got called for a kickball that wasn't a kickball. Should have been a turnover, possibly a fast break. And I know Miles Turner was barely moving with 12 seconds to go. I want to see the 48-minute report on the number of screens where a guy is barely moving.
That's true.
And they miss those calls throughout the game. That you can't make that call with 12 seconds to go. You shouldn't really make it.
So is there a shadow cast for tonight? Both teams going at each other the same way. An adjustment, Mina Kimes. How do you see tonight playing out?
I do think that the consistency is the issue here, especially when you're watching the Wolves like literally act like a band of actual Wolves and get away with it on the floor, and then you watch this Knicks series with a soft whistle. I suspect they make some adjustments going forward because of that contract.
One thing you're sure of tonight, Mina, who you got?
I got the Knicks.
Tim Kalishaw?
I had the Pacers in game one. They should have won game one. I'll take the Pacers.
Marcel?
In game two.
I got the Knicks. New York goes up 2-0.
And Frank Isola.
Brunson and Thibodeau, 2-0.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million bucks for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
At the Garden last night, Vinny Vici, the Rangers in double overtime over Caroline in an instant classic, and Vincent Trocheck, the winner, and he's been a conqueror all postseason long. He scored in five straight games, and you know the Rangers haven't lost a game this postseason, so that's working well for him. The Dallas Stars, oh, Tim Kalischa, here we go again on our own, going down the only road you've ever known, blowing a 3-0 home lead, an avalanche to lose 4-3 in overtime. Colorado takes a road win game one. What you buying, what you selling from the overtime thrillers? Tim Kalischa.
This is the only one who was there last night, Tony. I should inform you that since Pete DeBoer got to Dallas, Stars are 0-5 in game one.
That is not a good thing.
They don't really get going until game two.
Part of the plan.
In fact, against Vegas, they lost game two, and they still won that series. So let's not get overheated about that. Mm. Now, having said that, Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, they're the most dangerous players on the planet together. The Avalanche have scored at least four goals in every playoff game and in every time they played the Stars all five times this year, winning four of those games. It is a bit of a problem. It's nothing to panic about.
Nothing to panic about, he says. This is an interesting strategy you're making for Dallas teams today. Marcel Louis-Jacques, how about you?
Tony, what we heard out of the Stars locker room last night was they let this lead slip away. You didn't let it slip away. You blew it. It's a 3-0 lead after the first period. That's a blown lead. The Avalanche are the best offense in the NHL right now. 32 postseason goals is the best start to a postseason in NHL history. You had to assume that this onslaught, this attack, this rebuttal was coming at some point, and they just seemed so woefully prepared to defend that lead. It's a shame Stars blew that last
night. Solo?
I know there's an anti-New York bias on this panel, but Igor Shesterkin, the Rangers goaltender, 54 saves, that's the most,
third most
in a playoff game in Rangers history. But here's the key. The Rangers, 2-for-7 on the power play. They killed off two penalties in overtime. That's because the Hurricanes, 0-for-10 on the power play in this series. Ain't winning.
Tremendous argument for my solo. But also that qualifies as a homer pick. And Mina Kimes, how about you?
Just
that. Yeah, now that Frank is bravely talking about New York sports when no one else will, I'll go back to the other series. And I just want to say, if you follow Tim's logic, it's actually a good thing that he has the least amount of points on this panel, because he is going to come back just like all of his Dallas teams. Unfortunately, I do not think that is in the cards for the Stars because of what Marcel alluded to. The Avalanche's offense is too great. And this was actually the fifth time this season, Tony, they have come back from being down 3-0 and shut their opponent down.
That
is the most in NHL history.
Is that right? Wow. Did you get that stat from Woody Page? I don't think you got that stat from Woody Page. All right, we'll move on. Buy or sell two. It's the debate of the week. I love this story. Roll tape.
We got to get you outside of that football lane, man. Where the guaranteed contracts are, where the best athletes in the world are, that's us. I could take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA.
Whoa. Oh.
There it is. Austin Rivers making it in the show for that take. Mina, who you got? NBA players in the NFL or NFL players in the NBA? You can see J.J. Watt rallied for NFL players. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think where Austin went wrong was saying that they're the most athletic. That's just not true. You could have said skillful. There's a case to be made, rather, that because there's just so many more roster spots in football and positions you specialize in, you could
talk to me about making the jump. Could an NBA player more easily make the jump to the NFL or vice versa?
Maybe an NBA player could be a tight end who posts up in the end zone and catches a couple touchdowns, but there is too much skill
that
involved
counts.
In every other position, and to make a change later in your career, both directions seems
okay,
very...
Okay, I hear you. But you're taking NFL. Tim Kalischa, how about you?
You know, there are a lot of great players, great athletes in a lot of these sports. Had they chosen differently in high school, yes, they could have pursued
yes, that.
We know
this.
But Austin Rivers, that's not what Austin Rivers is saying.
Exactly.
He's saying they could go from the NBA and go suit up and go play football. I think they'd go through two football practices and they'd say, I'm out of here. I'm going back to the land of, you know, nights off and guaranteed contracts. I want no part of this.
Marcel, who you got, NBA or NFL?
Yeah, I knew a lot of guys in high school who quit football to go play basketball because it was too physical. Give me the NFL players, man. The size and speed and coordination that they have, I think it's a no-brainer. Like, and there's definitely not 30 guys in the NBA who can go play in the NFL right now. That's absurd. I know he's putting on a front for the McAfee show, but that is just such a bold-faced lie that I cannot get over.
Come on. All right, I could see Paolo Banchero, LeBron James as a tight end. I could see Jason Tatum as the new Harold Carmichael possibly doing that. And Mina, we love football and their skill, but come on now. Hockey, tennis, golf, soccer takes a little bit more skill than being like, I don't know, a defensive back that could run and tackle. It's a good thing you're not playing hockey or soccer. Or tennis.
You lost me there. Okay. Yeah, right. Nobody's saying they're going to hit 200 in Major League Baseball or they're going to be able to skate and play a line in hockey. All right, I don't know if we got to the bottom of that conversation yet, but it seems like everybody's leaning
Austin
more
Rivers
NFL.
Was right.
I want to see NFL versus sumo. Did you see that this week, Micah Parsons? Did you see it, Timmy?
There he goes.
Not bad. Oh, sumo won the first one. They went a second time, and Micah defended himself a little bit better. I take an entire offensive line of sumo wrestlers right now. We'll make the playoffs in the NFL next year. All right, Kalisha's done. Or I'll take a sumo wrestler, put him in the
net,
and I'd win the Stanley Cup Finals right now and take up the whole net.
Love that.
That's our showdown, Kime. Louis Jacques.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Marcel, good luck in showdown. Catcher's interference in baseball has been going up the last couple years, is up again on pace this year. And last night we had a brutal one. J.D. Martinez swing on impact with Wilson Contreras' arm. It's a broken arm for Contreras. He was in pain. Terrible injury. Question was Martinez too far back or Contreras too far up? The St. Louis Cardinals have addressed this. They said they have moved Contreras up in the box to help him frame low strikes. They acknowledged it was a risk, and now we see the very downside of that. Mina, how do you rule here?
Yeah, I don't want to blame Contreras, but as you said, they basically acknowledged that they were taking a risk with a deliberate strategy to better frame pitches. And it's not just about him. It's something we are seeing across baseball. There are as many catching interference calls in the month of April as there were across an entire season 10 years ago. Something is going on.
Marcel?
Contreras did not blame Martinez for the incident after the game, so neither will I. It is a freak accident and an unfortunate byproduct of moving your catcher up in the box, which is something I'm sure the Cardinals aren't going to do in the game.
Right? I mean, then the blame should be on the Cardinals, right? This wasn't the backswing. This was the swing. We'll move on. Also from baseball last night.
Don't take this the wrong way, but we are already a no-hitter alert. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, before he throws a single pitch tonight against the Marlins.
MLB Network's Greg Amsinger. This is, yes, MLB before Network, the game. As he sets up the game, they threw a no-hitter alert. And you know what happened on the first pitch of the game. Oh my goodness, you've heard of broadcaster jinx before, Marcel. How should Amsinger play this one off?
I mean, look, the world is going to get its jokes off, so maybe stay off Twitter for a couple of days. But, I mean, if you're going to make that joke about any team, how about the worst one in baseball? No harm, no foul.
Oh, that's a low blow on your hometown team. Go ahead, Mina.
I mean, the worst part for him, it wasn't just one hit. He actually allowed 5 hits in that game. I understand what he was doing. Maybe getting out ahead of it. It's worse when they bring up a no-hitter late in the game, but it was obviously a mistake.
Greg, I feel for you, man. Lead into it. Love it. That was an all-time jinx. Mina Kimes, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Yeah, just wanted to extend my condolences to the friends, family, many people who worked with legendary rock producer and engineer Steve Albini, who was behind albums from Nirvana, Pixies, The Breeders, but so many that meant so much to me. McCluskey, Low, Cloud Nothings, I could go on. Joanna Newsom, I really, really adored his music growing up. It had a huge influence on me. So RIP to an absolute legend.
That was a very nice remembrance, Mina. Thank you for your time. We'll see you guys tomorrow on a 23 and a half hour break. PTI's next.